What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 94 of Star Wars Beneath Twin Suns, a massive breakdown podcast. We're coming to you a little bit earlier in the week than usual. We decided to record two podcasts kind of back to back this week, since we're going to be taking the next week off to spend some holiday time with our families. So this time we're going to be talking about kind of two disconnected arcs: Rookies, which is the continuation of Clone Cadets, which we talked about in an earlier episode. And then we're going to be talking about a droid episode. It's Downfall of a Droid and Duel of the Droids, and not my favorite arc, but we will discuss it. But first, let's go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcher. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
I am doing pretty darn well. I have to admit, I'm really excited for the holidays coming up. I'm going to get some winter camping in, which requires a lot less gear in Texas than it does in many other places in the world. Really the only reason I'm going to do it, but and I am also excited to be talking about Rookies this week. It's just one of those episodes. It's clone focused and I just really enjoy it. I think it really brings the whole, like, the whole Clone Wars vibe. I think just comes through really strongly. This is one of those season one episodes that I never mind rewatching. But yeah, how about you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty all right. I noticed a conspicuous absence, and you're excited to talk about Rookies, and no mention of the other two episodes. And I definitely can echo that one a little bit. I'm doing well. I'm busy. It's the week before a holiday week. I'm taking some substantial time off work. I'm taking an entire week off work to go up and visit my wife's family. And that means that there's a lot of extra stuff to do to make sure that we don't get too far behind when we go out of town for a week. So that's always good fun. And it's keeping me busy, and I'm not able to play as much Destiny as I'd like. I got to prioritize my stuff. And so I've actually spent far more than I would have expected in terms of time investment, trying to get through these latter two episodes. I watched Rookies, and it was great. Made it through the entire thing. Started watching the droid episodes, and almost immediately fell asleep in the middle of the first episode. Went back, rewatched it again, fell asleep again. Rewatched it a third time today, earlier on, managed to make it through. I was actually pleasantly surprised. The part two was better that I remember and than I expected it to be. But part one was still not my favorite episode. And what it actually made me do is think back on how I was, like, kind of complaining a little bit about the middle part of the Malevolence arc, where I was like, oh, the using Anakin as the key to open all locks. I was like, yeah, that wasn't my favorite thing. And now I'm like, perhaps I've judged you too harshly. Because what I really don't like, it turns out, is droid stuff. So I was wondering if a chronological rewatch was going to sway my opinion at all of these type of stories. And at least for this one with R3, it did not.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into it when we get to those actual episodes, but I don't necessarily have a problem outright with the stories being droid focused. I do think it's really hard to make them work well, especially when you don't have, like, a talking droid. And I also think it's hard to really, I don't know. It's hard to make these stories work, I think, fundamentally, when the droid is a central role. The droids are the heroes, but they're always, like, sort of in the background doing that thing without which the heroes would all be doomed.
So I will say that I think we've had these discussions before, because I have, I believe, previously talked about my dislike for droid focused episodes.
Yeah.
However, that being said, Rebels has a couple of droid focused episodes, and I really don't mind them. I think a lot depends on the droid character that gets a lot of the spotlight.
Yeah.
And R2-D2, C-3PO, there was the one episode of Rebels that was focused on the abandoned Clone Wars droids that were like still fighting the war. You remember they had like the tactical super droid, right? And like Ezra and them have to go like beat them in a skirmish so the tactical super droid will help them, right? Like I actually really enjoyed the droid focused episodes of Rebels. I think in this one it was like, well, you know what, we'll talk about when we get there. Let's talk about one we did like first, which is Rebels. Start off on a high note. We talked about it when we were going over Clone Cadets, but I've always been, it's actually kind of the opposite of the droid focused episodes for me. I love the clone focused episodes. I think they're some of the best episodes in the series, and Rookies, I feel like, really benefited from us watching Clone Cadets first.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the episode had a lot more emotional impact going in this order, and it's a harder thing for me to measure because I've already seen both of those episodes a number of times, and so I feel like it's maybe harder for me to like sort of separate that knowledge from this experience. But I would agree that this is a better episode than Clone Cadets to begin with, in my opinion. And I think it's made stronger by watching Clone Cadets first. I think the opposite is probably also true, or would be true if they were closer together when they aired. And that I think Clone Cadets would have been a strong... either episode is strengthened by having seen the other one, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. Whichever one you watch second is going to be better from having watched the other one already. I think Clone Cadets is able to grab you a little more if you've watched this. I think this is 100% better for having watched Clone Cadets first.
Yeah, what I liked is that when I watched this one first on my original watch through, the clones that died, with the exception of Heavy to a certain extent, spoilers, by the way.
Yeah.
But the clones that died cut off droid bait.
This episode.
Yeah. And Heavy. Droid bait isn't even called by name, I don't think. He's literally just an unnamed clone that dies. Cut up, they only say his name literally as he dies. And Heavy, like, actually is one of the core three who has a little bit of an impact, right? I felt like those scenes didn't have any weight for me the first time I watched it, because I didn't know anything about them at all. And then I watched Clone Cadets, and retroactively I was like, oh, those were the clones who died, right?
Yeah.
But watching it chronologically this time, Clone Cadets does a great job of establishing all of those characters, with the exception of droid bait, but it establishes all of those characters like pretty evenly, actually, especially Heavy, right? And so from my perspective, like, I was just distant enough to get to know and like those characters during that episode. And then watching this, seeing Cut Up die, seeing Heavy die, I felt was like a lot more impactful. Even though I knew it was going to happen, it still felt a lot more impactful just because it felt like I'd spent a little bit more time with those characters. It was kind of like how when you watch Revenge of the Sith and Plo Koon dies or Kit Fisto dies, you feel more of an impact this time, even though you already knew it was going to happen, just because you've spent so much more time with them through the Clone Wars. I felt like on a micro scale, it did that for me. So I really appreciated that. And in general, this is just, it's just a damn good episode. I love when they do, like, I want to call them like baby Saving Private Ryan episodes, right? When they do like war episodes of Clone Wars. I love when they do stuff like that. So I had a great time pretty much start to finish in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, like between the two, like I think if we want to like do something to improve one of them, I think we get a lot more bang for our buck by watching Clone Cadets first and then watching Rookies second, because Rookies is the payoff really for that story. It's got the emotional weight. And like you said, like you don't necessarily get that if you go chronologically, especially because, you know, it's fairly early in the series. Clones are just dying left and right. And just because a couple of them have names doesn't necessarily, like, it doesn't stick with you. Right. But then
we just learned that in Malevolence, right? Matchstick is in two episodes, is named.
Yeah.
And dies anyways, kind of unceremoniously.
Pretty much.
RIP Matchstick. So I guess we can start at the beginning. We're on a remote outpost at a listening station on the Rishi Moon. The rookie clones have been stationed there. It's the squad, we've already named them, but just to reiterate, Heavy, Echo, Fives, Droid Bait, Cut Up. They're pretty annoyed with being there, honestly. There's really nothing going on. And they do have a sergeant who is trying to, cool name, by the way, Sergeant O-Niner, is trying to remind them that, like, hey, this listening post is actually super vital, because if this thing weren't here, the Separatists would be able to launch a surprise attack on Kamino, which is, of course, their home. And he's like, you know, one way or the other, you guys need to take this seriously, even if there's not battle, and you need to be prepared for an inspection, because we got some people coming out to do an inspection. It's obviously, fortunately for us and for the clones, it's Captain Rex and Commander Cody. They start the episode with a meteor shower. And this part was, I felt a little reminiscent of Empire Strikes Back, right? But it's like a meteor shower and some stuff hits the shield, the planetary shield that they put up, but they're not all meteors. A couple of them are boarding ships, some ships that we've seen in the Malevolence arc that they use to crush the escape pods, but it's depositing droid commandos. And I think I might be wrong, but is this the first appearance of droid commandos in Clone Wars? Because I feel like I explicitly remember being surprised seeing those in this series when I watched it and thinking, damn, those things are pretty sweet.
You know, that is actually a question I wish you had asked me before we started recording, because now I'm really curious and I don't know the answer. It's definitely one of the first appearances. Let's take a look here.
I believe it is.
Yeah, Rookies is the first appearance in the broadcast series. I believe we actually saw some watching through chronologically in Clone Cadets, like some captured models used in the testing course, but they weren't true drone commandos.
They weren't actually the lethal ones. They were just.
These are the real deal, and this is indeed their first appearance.
So I had an interesting thing. So I had played Star Wars Battlefront before I started watching Clone Wars. And clone commandos are in Star Wars Battlefront, and they're like really strong, super lethal, like, I guess they're heroes or whatever. And I was not sure, because I had not watched Clone Wars. I thought a lot of the stuff in Star Wars Battlefront was either just made up or taken from Legends. I didn't realize that they were like actually real things. And it wasn't until I went back and I rewatched like tactical droids, like super tactical droids and stuff like that. Like, a lot of that stuff was in Clone Wars, and I thought it had just been made up for the game or pulled from somewhere else. So I had like a weird familiarity with them, where I'm like, oh, I'm used to these things killing me in this game. And then I went to Clone Wars and I was like, oh, this is a real thing. Like, this is pretty cool. And I see why they made them a hero. So I actually really like this. They managed to take out, I believe it's CT-327 is the first poor random trooper that gets taken out, and kind of brutally just execute him. Like just sneak up and execute him. And they infiltrate the base pretty efficiently.
Yeah.
They kill Sergeant O-Niner pretty quickly. They kill a handful of the rookie clone troopers. I believe Droid Bait is one of the first to fall. To no fanfare. Yeah, living up to his name.
Yeah. A lot of clones are quite aptly named. True. So we see four clones flee the base through the exhaust vent. We've got Heavy, Fives, Echo, and Cut Up. And we'll come back to them in just a second here. The commando droids make their report to General Grievous, who then contacts Asajj Ventress, who is not referred to by name, but is actually referred to as their spy on Kamino, which is I believe a nice bit of foreshadowing for some stuff we'll come back to in some future episodes, but she is there making secret preparations for a separatist invasion.
Yeah, and I am looking forward to that story. That's going to be a little bit before we get there chronologically, but I am looking forward to that story. But
they really like hinted at it way early in a way, I think, and then just sort of drop it for a while. Maybe I'm looking at it chronologically and not in release order, but.
Well, the Separatists get rebuffed at the end of this episode, and so they kind of scale back their plans and try to do it another time. But like you said, the four remaining clones emerge from the maintenance tunnel. They made their escape. The clone commanders have obviously seized complete control of the listening station. They've hardwired it to signal the all good, right?
You keep saying clone commandos and you mean droid commandos, and it's killing me.
Sorry. The droid, I've been reading too much of the clone commandos books. The droid commandos. We're talking about clones. And we're talking about droid commandos, and I've been reading a book series for literally weeks on clone commandos. It is an understandable mistake, but yes, you are correct. The droid commandos
unforgivable
have seized control. The clones themselves, the clone rookies, have escaped.
Yes.
And this is made even all the more confusing by the fact that several of these clone rookies become clone commandos later on, or they become, I guess, ARC troopers, technically.
Right.
Right? They don't become commandos, but... Cody and Rex's shuttle flies over and lands. And, I guess we missed the part where Cut Up dies. I forget about this. So Echo is saying, hey, we need to be careful. We need to be careful out here, guys. There's some Rishi eels that are out here, and those things are pretty dangerous. We don't want to mess with them. And perfectly on cue, one of them slides up and just grabs Cut Up and just devours Cut Up, like literally just eats him. And the other clones are just like, oh, man, poor Cut Up. And I was like, man, That's pretty traumatizing. Like, it's a good thing that you guys are designed to not be traumatized by events like that, because I feel like watching one of your brothers who you went through training with be eaten alive by a Rishi eel would elicit more of a response than, oh, poor Cut Up.
Yeah. You know, it's I'm forgetting now if he says it like right before or right after, but he says like, that's why we've got the regulations about not going outside. I think he says it right before Cut Up gets snatched. And it's just like, well, absolutely vicious. So at the speed of plot, Cody and Rex's shuttle arrives and flies in for a landing at the outpost high above. Heavy, Fives, and Echo see them flying in, remember, oh yeah, there's an inspection, we've got to warn them, but they are unable to make contact by radio, and so they decide to use a warning flare. Meanwhile, up on the platform, Cody and Rex debark, and they're immediately just like, oh my gosh, these guys are sloppy, like there's no deck officer, what is going on here? And it's funny, of course, right? Because they're there for an inspection. They're like, boy, they're failing the inspection and they have no idea. Like, you see the droid commandos like hiding behind boxes.
I appreciate that one of the droid commandos puts on the clone trooper outfit and like walks out to them and like,
gesturing with its arms.
Everything's fine. We're all good here. Like, no need for the. I appreciate it. It was a little bit of humor and I appreciated it. But the. The clone responds to something. I think it's a demand to see the sergeant.
Yeah, and Rex the clone demands responds, to see the sergeant on duty.
Yeah, and I'm air quoting clone here. The clone responds with Roger, Roger, which immediately triggers the suspicions of both Rex and Cody, and Rex just shoots it directly in the face.
Well, so
and
it's at that moment
Cody's
that the flare
like, well,
goes off
now.
In the background. They all turn and look at it. And then Rex just pulls his pistol and immediately shoots the fake clone in the head.
Yeah. And the jig is pretty much up. He pulls the helmet off, reveals it to be a droid commando. And that's
a Scooby-Doo moment there for him.
Yeah. And that pretty much triggers a firefight. So the other droid commandos bust out. They throw a bunch of thermal detonators that destroy the shuttle. But Rex and Cody are able to kind of get off the platform and escape and meet up with the other clones who fired off the flare. He does somewhat smartly force them to take off their helmets to prove that they are actual clones this time.
I think the line he uses is "remove your sunbonnets."
Your sunbonnets.
I feel like that's what it sounded like. I didn't go back and replay it again. I'd never noticed that before.
Anyways. You know, it occurs to me that the clones, the rookies, are extremely lucky that the people they sent to do the inspection were Rex and Cody, which are probably the two most capable clones in the entire Grand Republic Army. Because they are able, like, you saw how easily the droid commandos basically wiped the floor with a sergeant and a couple of other rookie clones.
Yeah.
And Rex and Cody are able to more than hold their own.
They outnumbered on the platform. They still take down one or two of the commandos before being forced to flee. And then they evade capture without much difficulty.
And then when the eel returns for seconds,
yeah,
Rex kills it with a single shot straight through the eye.
Yeah.
And then he also gives the rookies a nice nickname called he calls them shinies, mm-hmm. right? Because their armor is all shiny and clean and it's not battle worn. He says just like you rookies, right? So he calls them shinies, and he's at the time when he's saying this, he's like walked up and he's touched the eel where he shot it, and it's like bleeding this blue blood. And he walks up and he puts his hand on Five's chest. Right. And it leaves a like blue bloody handprint on his chest. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can use it for pretty much the entire rest of the episode. That's how you can differentiate the rookies. That's how you differentiate, I think, Fives and Echo, is the handprint that's on the chest. And I believe that that handprint ends up being a symbol that Fives uses pretty much the entire rest of the entire rest of the series.
Yeah. 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 So this is, you know, like we've talked about a few times, this is kind of a defining moment for these clones. And these are stories that we're going to be revisiting again and again over several seasons of this show, which is, I think, one of the things that just makes it so enjoyable and so easy to get invested in. So, yeah, that's a great call out. And I believe it's actually Heavy who essentially responds, you know, shinies or not, we've got to retake that base. And, you know, Rex says, well, there's hope for you rookies yet.
So they're they do a little table turning,
yeah,
on the droid commandos here. Their idea is like, well, we can't break through the base. The base is too heavily defended. So what we'll do is we'll try to do to them what they did to us. And they pose as a droid posing as a clone,
mm-hmm.
and they try to get them to open the gates, and one of the droid commandos is like, your vocabulator sounds funny, you don't sound like a droid posing as a clone. And so they just lean down and pick up a droid's decapitated head and like hold it in front of the camera. And even Cody is like, this is the stupidest plan in the world, but being droids, they fall for it and they open the gate. And just immediately get gunned down by Rex and the other clones.
Yeah, Rex is like doing a bit here, right? Like he's everything that the droids say, he just says Roger, Roger, right? It's hilarious. It's kind of extra funny for me because my daughter used to like run around like pretending to be a droid saying Roger, Roger when she was little, and so it's like flashbacks. Like this is possibly the most ridiculous plan, and yet somehow it kind of makes sense that it works. And then, you know, of course he gets the last word, and as they open the door and they're like, ah, clones, and he says Roger, Roger, and then they just blast them all.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty funny as far as it goes. So they realize that the Confederate Navy, or the Confederacy, their navy has showed up, led by Grievous. Grievous realizes pretty quickly that he can't make contact with any of the droid commandos, so something must be wrong. Even though it's still broadcasting the all clear, he's like, we can't let them, you know, retake command of the base and flash out a warning. So he sends down a pretty substantial amount of reinforcements to retake the base again. The clones realize pretty quickly they're not going to be able to defend it. So they decide, well, if we destroy it, then at least the Republic will know something's wrong. They don't have enough thermal detonators, but they do have liquid Tabana, which is the highly explosive gas that they use to heat the station, basically to prevent it from freezing over in the winter. And they try to set up a remote detonator, but no such luck. The plot determines that the remote detonator will not function. So Heavy, basically, in a heroic last stand, seconds before death, activates the explosives himself and destroys the entire base, right?
Yeah.
Which immediately alerts the Republic. The Republic fleet jumps into the system, and Grievous's navy, which was supposed to be for a surprise attack, is outgunned and retreats without even so much as trying to start a fight. And yeah.
This for me, you know, Heavy's sacrifice really hits home, because Heavy plays a big role in the Clone Cadets episode. And I think that's one of the things that makes this episode so good when you're watching them chronologically and you've seen Clone Cadets just recently. You know, Heavy really struggled to kind of come together with his teammates, and, you know, to be able to turn around and make this sacrifice for, as they note, a base that he hated. You know, it says, speaks a lot to his character as a soldier, and it really is, like, it's a dark, like, sad moment. But they nonetheless managed to sort of take the sting out just a little bit here, and you know, Heavy's been badly wounded, shot several times. He's laying next to the explosives, and he starts to move, and the droids hesitate. And one of them, you know, asks, "Do we take prisoners?" Setting up Heavy for the perfect last words, "I don't," right before he blows them all up. So it's a good final scene, and honestly, I'm just sad we don't get more Heavy, because I feel like that's a character that I would have enjoyed seeing more of.
Mm-hmm. And Heavy even has a little bit of a presence in the follow-up to this episode, ARC Troopers, which we won't spoil, but 99s is not pleased to learn about what happened to Heavy, but yeah, and then it ends with Echo and Fives being given medals by Rex, and Rex basically inducting them into the 501st Legion. The 501st Legion is, of course, the clones that are underneath Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano and Rex, and even at one point Pong Krell. We'll talk about that much later in the series. They say they don't, you know, really feel like they've earned it necessarily, but Rex says, "Nope, you definitely have. Like, welcome to the 501st." And so we've kind of got our initial introduction to a handful of the clones that are going to be absolutely instrumental in the series for seasons to come.
Yeah.
Echo, of course, all the way through to Bad Batch. Fives has a critical role in the story of the clones, and Rex, of course, still kicking, still around.
Yeah. Rex forever. This is just, it's a really good episode, you know, especially among the season one episodes. I think this is one of the stronger ones. This is one of the episodes, I think, for me, again, like, you know, following up on the Malevolence arc, this is one of the ones that convinced me that I was really going to enjoy this series. And it also, I think, was maybe the first time that I realized that I was going to get really invested in the clones as characters and protagonists in their own right, and not just as sort of extras in the story that, you know, the Jedi and the Sith were playing out. You know, and you know, I say that kind of as you know, in terms of clones beyond Rex and Cody, who, you know, were sort of like fixtures already in the series at this point, as kind of the designated lieutenants And I think that's important because Rex and Cody, you sort of start to get the feeling that they're safe, right? They're so closely tied to the Jedi. Cody, we know, is safe because of the movies. And Rex, I think we get a pretty clear picture that he's going to make it through pretty much anything. And that if he does go down, it's going to be in some kind of like finale storyline. You know, even at this point, mm-hmm. It's pretty clear, right? He's going to be a character that we're going to come back to. But what wasn't clear up until this point is just how invested the series is going to get into the rest of the clones, and that there are going to be other clones with names and important stories to tell. And I think this episode in release order is kind of the first time we see that. And that's one of the beauties about chronological viewing, I think, is that that's already clear because we've already seen Clone Cadets. The Clone Cadets sort of tells us that outright, that, hey, pay attention to the clones and their names, like, probably going to matter. That's virtually the entire point of Clone Cadets in my mind as a storytelling device. And then this is the first time that like it truly, truly matters who the clones are and what their names are.
Yeah, the show does a great job of both making clones that you care about and also keeping clones disposable, right? And that's a real fine line to tread, because my initial, like, the show is called The Clone Wars, right? And it really is, to a certain extent, it's about the clones themselves. And I was worried when I first started watching the show that the clones were all just going to be nameless, faceless entities who just got killed by the dozens and functionally were just no better than the droids for the you know, Confederacy. They were just masses of troops to be wiped out so that they could say, like, oh, 100 clones were killed in this battle, right? But there's no emotional impact. There's no weight to that. So instead, what they do is they continue to use them as disposable for the most part. But as often as they can, they humanize them. They give them custom armor. They give them names. They call them out. They don't say CT-327 that often. They say cut up, or they say matchstick, or they say tag, right? Like, even when, you know, when matchstick died in the Malevolence arc, he took out a second ship, and Ahsoka calls that clone out by name as Tag, right? We don't know anything about Tag, but the fact that they called him out by name means that that clone mattered at some point in time. And so they keep them disposable, but they humanize them, and so you get a lot more of the impact out of it. And they even do stuff like, one of the things, we forgot to mention this to me in the episode, but it's like they have the, they're all sitting in the barracks on the base, and they're listening to like a droid VJ that's like calling out, you know, the mud jumpers of the 224th slugging it out on Mimbin, you know, keep your heads down and your seals tight. And they've got pinup pictures hanging on the wall in the background, right? And like, it really is just like Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers or something like that, where like, you know, all these characters aren't going to survive, but they take those few extra steps to help you relate to those characters. And that's really all it takes. Like, that's the difference between some person whose name you've heard once getting shot and you not even thinking twice about it, and you actually having like the briefest twinge of like, oh shit, that sucks for cut up. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I also really love this episode. I think Rookies is a very, very strong episode. Plus we get to see Rex and Cody being pretty badass, which I always enjoy because they're fantastic. And, you know, we get to see, there's like this leapfrog thing they do where like the Confederacy, like the droids have to be scary some of the time. So the droids come in and like wipe out some troops, but then Rex and Cody have to be badass. So they come in and they wipe out the droids, and there's like this stacking order that they do. And they do a good job of that, like quite often, right? Where if the, you know, if the Rex and Cody can't get beat because they're pretty sweet, but at the same time, the commando droids have to come in and like kick some butt, or else they don't seem scary, right? So I think they do a good job of power creeping where appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And the way that they handled that in this episode was really good.
What do you score it?
This is a hard one for me to score. I really, really enjoy it. I feel like it's a lot of fun, especially in this order. Got the emotional impact that I love. You know, I feel like we definitely get a lot stronger episodes down the line. Like, I almost feel like when we get into later seasons, I'm going to have to, like, revise my scale. I've been thinking about that since we were rating Malevolence. I was like, gosh, man, there's so many good episodes down the line that, like, it's going to be really hard to, I almost feel like we should have picked, like, an episode to rate against. You know, like, this is the perfect 10 compared to that, this episode is. But here we are. I think I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Yeah.
I think it's an episode that hooks you in, and it delivers fun, and it delivers some levity and some seriousness, and it just works.
Yeah. I think I could also go with an 8.5. I think I'm going to go with an 8 because, like you said, I feel a small need, and I was doing this, and I feel like this is unfair, but I'm just going to say it. Like, I feel like I need to rate it a little bit lower because there are episodes that are, like, significantly better than Rookies.
Yes.
But Rookies doesn't actually have anything wrong with it. Like, I did the exact same thing when I was, you know, nitpicking some of the stuff in the Malevolence arc. Like, the stuff that is wrong with Rookies is no fault of Rookies. It's a fantastic story. The thing that I don't like about Rookies is it's just one-off episode, right? And, like, it's harder to have the weight and the impact when you've only got 21 minutes to tell a story. And they tell a story, and they do it successfully, and there's nothing that I think they could have done better in that 21 minutes. But when I think of the episodes that are, like, perfect 10s, they are the conclusions to 4-episode or 3-episode arcs, right? And they just have so much more buildup, so much more weight behind them, that when you get to that finale, it just, like, cracks you over the head. And Rookies can't do that. It could never have done that. And so it's hard for me to fault it. But at the same time, it's like you said, like, this is a really good episode. This is a good season one episode. It's a good standalone episode. But there are some masterpieces in Clone Wars. And so it feels disingenuous for me to give it, like, a 9 or something like that, even though I don't really have any criticisms of it. But, you know, it's like me criticizing Malevolence for them using Anakin the way Anakin is meant to be used. Like,
right.
I'm just, it's like, oh, well, I know that you can do other things because you do other things and they're so successful, and you didn't do it this time, and there's really no reason why you should have done it. But, like, you know, there's similar episodes that do it better. And so just for the fault of other episodes existing that are better, I, like, kind of rate this one lower. And it feels wrong, but unless I'm going to start rating episodes 11 in the later seasons, I don't feel like I can get in good conscience go higher than that.
Yeah, I almost feel like I need to just say, like, every rating I've given so far, like, is just down half a point, and call this an 8, and it's a really good episode. It's great. Standout for me in season one. And that's, you know, it's a season 1-8, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to clarify it. It's a season 1-8. Right. Yeah. It's, you know, if we pull up an 8 in season 5, a season 5-8 is probably a lot stronger than a season 1-8.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just that may be just the raw fact of it, right? That I think we just have to be aware of is that the scale is really only within, like, the season and sort of the region of the show that it takes place in. And season 2 episodes are just almost universally better than season 1 episodes, and the same is true with every subsequent season.
Yeah. If you can't tell, I'm, like, legitimately distraught at having to give these, like, lower ratings, because, like, yeah, it doesn't feel fair. And, like, I'm not the type of person, like, I don't like nitpicking. I don't like trying to find stuff I don't like. but I'm struggling to justify. I'm like trying to find ways to justify giving these lower ratings than like 9, because in my head I'm just like, 9's for everything. They're all 9s. Like not the droid episodes, which we're gonna talk about. Those I won't have to struggle to justify rating them lower. But like rookies, like the first number that popped in my head was like 9, and I was like, I can't keep giving these episodes like these high scores, because there are, like we just said, there's a season 5 9, and if you were to stack those two episodes head to head, like rookies versus a season 5 9, it's like the difference is night and day, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that there's anything I don't like about rookies. It's just that the writing and the storytelling and the animation and everything grew so much in the later seasons that just the overall quality, it's like it's everything I love about rookies perfected, basically, if that makes sense. Like the way they use the characters, and it happens with Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka and everything, like they figured out how to use the characters. Mm-hmm. Even in rookies, like They're still finding their footing. They're still finding their place, right? But by the time season 5 rolls around, they have all coalesced wonderfully. So I guess that's what it is. It's like, it's everything I love about the Clone Wars. It's just really early on in the series where they haven't polished it yet. You know, they haven't. It's still a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah, it's definitely I'm gonna call it It's, you know what it is? It's a shiny, all right?
It's a shiny. That's perfect.
This is a rookie episode. It's a shiny 8.
Oh my God. It's not a veteran 8. It's a shiny 8. Man, that's perfect. That's a good way to think about it. And you know what the next episode is? Is a shiny turd. They polished. Now, I'm being too hurtful for a downfall of a droid, but
I mean, it's not a great episode.
No, it's really not. And I was trying to put into words why I don't like Downfall of a Droid. And I came to the realization, because I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about before, but the show Archer has been going on for like 14 seasons, right? And it just ended. The series finale, Into the Cold, just came out recently. And they were interviewing the series creator, Adam Reed. And he was talking about how when he first the show, he only had 4 seasons set up in his head, and at the end of the 4th season he was like, all right, cool, we're done, like that was a good time. And FX was like, oh, we want you to do another season. And he was like, oh, well, I didn't really have another season set up, all right, cool, like I'm kind of bored with these characters, I'm gonna take it in a whole different direction. And so he did a season called Archer Vice, which was like at the time pretty much universally hated. And he was like people hated it. He's like, my agent hated it, FX didn't really like it. He's like, I don't think the viewers liked it. He's like, but I thought it was pretty funny. But one of the changes that he did was that he had made all the characters used to mess stuff up, but they would like fail upwards, right? Like they would screw up their plan, or Archer would be drunk doing something, but because he was drunk, everything worked out perfectly and he ended up succeeding, right? So he was like failing upwards. In Archer Vice, it was the other way around. Like they actually failed the entire season. And it was not fun to watch characters flail around and be unsuccessful. And this episode in particular, the first part of it with R3, was like watching that, like just watching a character flail at every opportunity. And even though it's because like R3 is a spy and he's trying to sabotage this stuff, that isn't made glaringly obvious at first. It just comes off as like a super inept droid that messes up every single one of their plans. And I just didn't particularly enjoy watching that. Like the fact that they kept giving the droid more chances when it kept messing up and Ahsoka kept defending it, and I was like, nah man, like eject that thing into space. Like this droid is screwed up. It has put people's lives in jeopardy. It is clearly incompetent. Like eject that thing straight into space and let's be done with this episode. But they didn't. It just kept going and going and going and going for the entirety of this episode, and then for like half of the next episode.
Honestly, I kind of just want to leave the whole I know we can't, but I kind of just want to leave the whole episode discussion at that, because that's fundamentally the full extent of it. I've talked about this a few times, but some of it is expectation, right? Like, if you are in a story where you're expecting there to be spies and deception, and for the story to not give you all of the information about why a character is doing something, or for it to be maybe unclear what a character's motives are, then this kind of thing can work out, right? If we're in Andor, then having a character who is apparently on the protagonist side, but seems to keep screwing up in a way that helps the antagonists, that can work. And you can question, oh, is this person trustworthy or not? You'll understand that that's where you're supposed to go. That is not how most of Star Wars works. That's not how the Clone Wars has worked so far. We've gotten a view into both sides and what both sides are up to, even to the point of you know, seeing Palpatine involve himself in events to some extent. And so for them to just completely leave us out of the loop here is jarring and expectation breaking in the worst way. Because you're right, like we are set up here by the rest of by the way that the story is structured in the rest of the show to assume that we're going to get filled in on Grievous's plan and that we're not going to be left in the dark. And that's just not what happens. We're as the audience left in the dark, and then we feel like the episode is dumb because like this droid is annoying. It's actively annoying to watch. And then we're made to feel dumb for not realizing that it was a spy. Right? Like I think that's, you know, the way it kind of comes across. And maybe some people figured it out, and good for them. But I have to think that most people watching this just thought it was like some sort of like Jar Jar style gimmick, but with a droid.
Yeah, it really was. It was like a Jar Jar style gimmick without the like childlike humor of Jar Jar. You know, it's the droid's not funny.
No.
Or it's like not quippy. There's no physical humor to the droid. So it's just a droid that's incompetent. And like my thought was watching this the first time, I was like, well, this freaking droid has to be a spy or like a saboteur or something, because it's like ruining, it's messing up everything. And it was so obvious, but it wasn't called out, that I was like, I feel like if I were the character, I'd be like, this droid is a freaking double agent. Clearly, like no droid is this incompetent. And Anakin calls it out a couple of times, but yet continues to allow the droid to accompany him on missions. You know, granted, we talked about in the malevolence thing where he just like trusts Ahsoka implicitly, and Ahsoka insists on it, and he trusts Ahsoka, and you know, it ends up backfiring on that. So I give him credit for staying true to his character. But I would have been like, nah, man, like screw this droid. Because that's how I felt watching the episode. I was like, man, this droid is just really ruining everything. Every single plan ruined, nearly getting people killed. I didn't really like this episode at all. There are some good scenes early on in the episode. In the very beginning, there's some good strategy where they kind of lure Grievous into a trap, and they pull Grievous forward, and then they have the ATTEs like on the asteroids to you know, shoot the rear of Grievous's ships. Like I like that. I appreciate that. That was pretty clever. Yeah. That was before we got introduced to the damn gold droid. So I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't explain the plot. R2,
this episode actually starts off pretty well.
Yeah, I didn't realize what I was watching when I started it, and I was like, wait a minute, am I still watching the end of a different episode or something? I like had to check the episode title because I didn't remember that this was part of the Downfall of a Droid episode, or Duel of a Droids episode.
It's a great opening, and it's sad because of what happens next. But yeah, so you know, General Grievous, in true, you know, true to his idiom, has been busy ambushing Republic fleets. And so, you know, Obi-Wan tells Anakin that he should retreat from the Bothawui. Am I?
Bothawai?
Bothawai. There we go. I was like, wait a minute. I'm not saying that right. System and regroup. Because he's likely to get attacked. But Skywalker has a plan. And as you noted, of course, it involves dropping a bunch of tanks onto the asteroids and then luring Grievous into flying through the asteroid belt and setting themselves up for a completely unexpected rear assault. Which works great.
See,
more or less.
This is an Anakin plan that I like.
Yeah.
Because it has some basis in like, oh, I could see that working. That's pretty clever. The Anakin plan I didn't like was like, oh, well, we'll just fly straight at them and I can use the force to dodge every laser. So I'll survive. But this I like because it shows, you know, a good tactical sense of what to do. It's basically a trap that they spring on Grievous. So I appreciated it. But unfortunately for him, he gets a piece of shrapnel into the side of his fighter and it careens off into the asteroid field and he gets knocked out. He awakens on the Resolute and learns that he was saved, but R2 was not in the fighter when they got there. So he wants to go out and salvage him. And of course, they're like, why would you do that? It's a droid. Who cares? And he's like, I didn't wipe R2's memory ever. So he knows everything about our bases, our operations, literally everything that I know he knows. And Obi-Wan is not pleased to hear about that.
To say the least. Just like a complete violation of security protocols. Yeah. And this is where the story, which has started off so well and actually is quite intriguing up to this point. Like it's got a great opening scene. Got a great hook for the story here. Like, oh, you know, like there's an actual like security risk here. R2 has a bunch of, you know, info that we can't let the separatists get. And in comes Ahsoka with a new gold R3 unit. Is, you know, the next generation, far superior to those old outdated R2 units, or so we're told.
Yep, she calls him Goldie. Interestingly, his gold and black color scheme is actually based, according to Filoni at least, actually based off of his hometown football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh.
Who are really more yellow and black and less gold and black, but close enough. Anakin, to his credit, is like, nah, there's no way you can replace R2. They search the debris field. They find a freighter, like a junk freighter, with a very fat Trandoshan captain named Ganacht. And he claims that there's not an R2 unit on board, even though I think Anakin hears R2's beep and is immediately suspicious. He allows them to go into the hold, and he's like, you know, you better be careful in there. There's some valuable stuff in there. And it turns out that there's two bounty hunter droids, IG-86s, that Goldie, being a complete idiot, accidentally, I say with air quotes, triggers to awaken and attack the two Jedi.
And this is where it starts to sort of like from the outset, stretch the bounds of credulity. How you activate two IG units instead of opening a door by accident. How you believe that story. Just watching this, I was just like, so the droid is just entirely defective? Like, what's the, you know, what's the deal here? Regardless, of course, the Jedi are able to cut the droids down, leaving them in pieces on the floor. And by the time they get through the door, the Trandoshan is naturally pretty upset. They've, you know, destroyed his merchandise. And they're forced to conclude that R2 must not be on board. Which, I guess, feels a little forced, but that's what happens. They leave, and at last we start getting filled in on some of what the villains are up to in this story. Gonnacht had the droid locked up in a crate with a restraining bolt on, and after Anakin and Ahsoka leave, he contacts Grievous, informing him that he's got R2.
Then we get more of R3 being just a total piece of crap.
Basically.
So they basically figure out that Grievous has been listening in, which means he probably has a spy post somewhere. They call it a listening post somewhere. So Anakin's going to go out scouting. And unfortunately, Ahsoka insists that R3 come along, using it as an opportunity for them to bond, she says. And R3 somehow manages to accidentally turn on a tracking device, which alerts Grievous to Anakin's position. Then he detaches Anakin's fighter from its hyperspace rings, disables the blaster cannons, doesn't cut the engines, doesn't start the engines. I mean, like, if this were a human pilot that did these things, they would be fired immediately. There would be no tolerance for this kind of incompetence. And The fact that they continue to allow this droid to be this incompetent without doing something to it is just beyond me. And yeah.
But that they wouldn't have just sent it in to be serviced. Like, it's clearly defective.
Yeah, like, it's worse than having no droid at all.
Yeah, blatantly. So.
Did not like it. Did not like it at all. That's the end of this episode, thank God. I'm entirely happy to move on to the next episode, which at least is better.
Well, so we got to rate it. We got to rate it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Honestly, like, I hesitate to give anything less than a 6 because, like, I've always said that, like, Star Wars is like pizza or sex. Even when it's bad, it's good. Right. And, like, I don't actually agree with that for this episode. I want to give it a 4, but, like, I liked the intro, so I'll give it a 5. I enjoyed the first scene. With the battle with Grievous.
So here's the situation. If I wasn't doing a Star Wars podcast, under no circumstances would I ever rewatch this episode.
Correct.
It has a few redeeming qualities. But even my daughter thinks it's annoying.
That's not a good sign.
That's a bad sign, right? If you can't even entertain a child, I feel like you're doing Star Wars wrong. I got to give this one a 3. I think it's just possibly one of the worst episodes of Clone Wars ever released. Because just because the story itself is actively annoying. They're trying to set up the next episode in this one, and they're forcing it in such a way that it just, like, if we hadn't just watched a bunch of great episodes, like, this would be the kind of thing that'd be like, maybe this show's not worth continuing. You know, like, it's really bad.
So it's not even the lowest rated episode in season 1. There are Bombad Jedi is rated lower, which we'll talk about in the new year when we return.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Blue Shadow Virus and Mystery of a Thousand Moons are rated lower. And I don't remember disliking those episodes that much, so I'm kind of surprised that those were rated as low as they are. But I'm curious. I'm looking now to see if it's the lowest rated episode in the entire series, and it looks like for right now, Bombad Jedi is the lowest rated episode in the entire series.
People love to hate on Jar Jar.
People also weirdly hate Padme in the Clone Wars. A lot of Padme episodes are very, very lowly rated.
I can't imagine. Why? All right. I know exactly why. But not worth getting into right now.
It's actually crazy. I've looked at the first 3 seasons, and the lowest rated episode is the Jar Jar episode. Every episode that is under a 7 in the first couple seasons is a Padme episode. All of them. And some of them, I'm looking at them, I'm like, this is a good episode. Like, some of the ones that had to do with, like, Mandalore and stuff like that, or like the Senate stuff, I was like, these were good episodes. Nope. Yeah. Rated under 7s, which is, there's another lowly rated one It's in season 4. It's a droid episode.
Yep. Not a shocker. Not a shocker. Yeah, I'm gonna stick to my guns here. And I'll let people guess whether or not I'm going to rate Bombad Jedi higher or lower than this one. I think.
Oh my god! Actually, in season 5, the lowest rated episode is a droid episode.
Yeah.
I guess at least I'm not alone here. Not that I necessarily. I usually would say no, because usually I don't want to, you know, put a ton of stock in the IMDb ratings for stuff. But it is pretty funny that the lowest rated episode in season 4 and the lowest rated episode in season 5, both of which are excellent seasons, really good seasons, they're both droid episodes, which I think is hilarious. And so I think the argument could be made, even if you think that this is the worst episode ever, I think you could pretty easily make the argument that it's in the bottom 5 or at least in the bottom 10. And there's 130 episodes of Clone Wars. So being in the bottom 10, and it feels like being generous to say it's only in the bottom 10. I really do think that you could pretty easily make the argument that's a bottom 5 episode. It's good to get it out of the way this early, though, at least.
Yeah. You know, it's done. Let's move on.
Thank God. So that was Downfall of a Droid. The finale to this episode is Duel of the Droids. And thank goodness, this episode is, I want to say significantly better, but the only reason it's significantly better, it's still like, I'm going to go out on a limb here early and say it's like a 7, right? Like, it's significantly better, like 50% better than the previous episode, but that's only because the previous episode was so bad. That this episode, which is really just like a middling episode, by comparison, seems like it's darn near a masterpiece. But they... So, Gonnacht... What is it? Gonnacht is going to bring R2 to Grievous's listening post, right? And R2 manages to transmit that location out, which gets picked up by the Twilight. And Obi-Wan, of course, is like, wait for reinforcements. And Anakin's like, nah, I'm just going to start a rescue mission. And we're just going to go get R2, right? So he's saying it like, oh, I want to do it before all of the secrets fall into Separatist hands. I don't think he actually really even cares about that. I think he just wants to go get R2 back. But they, was it Grievous? Plays the benevolent and terrifying host pretty well, but like welcomes R2 and is like, don't be scared, little droid. We're all droids here. Right. Which I thought was, I liked the menace that Grievous has in this episode a lot. I actually really liked, I think maybe my favorite part of this episode was General Grievous. I really enjoyed his characterization this entire time and his back and forth with R2, his back and forth with Gonnacht, who Gonnacht pulls all the secrets out of R2's memory. And is like, oh man, this droid is way more valuable than I thought. I need a bonus for this. And Grievous is like, sure, you can have a bonus, and just stabs him to death with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fantastic, because Gonnacht was also super annoying. So I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, Grievous is really in his element in this episode. And it's great to see. We've seen Grievous suffer a number of setbacks so far in the series. Sort of setback after setback. Like, it's not, the war's not going well for Grievous, if we're being brutally honest. And they kind of give him credit for some successes in the background, but it doesn't quite play the same if all we ever see on screen is failure. And so it's nice to see, once again, Grievous being a terrifying foe on screen, even if, you know, he's not entirely successful here.
Well, this is the first of these instances where they have to do the weird thing where Anakin and Grievous can't meet, right?
Yeah.
Because they have to meet for the first time in Revenge of the Sith. So Anakin splits up to go like try to find R2, which is also hilarious to me because it totally seems like a thing Anakin would do. He literally leaves his apprentice and the clones to do the actual mission, which is to destroy the reactor. And he just goes to find R2. Like, that's what he wants to do on this listening post. So they split up. Grievous orders the Magna Guards, the IG-100s that he has, which I love those droids as well. He orders them to take R2 to his ship, and Anakin is able to defeat all of the Magna Guards while R2 kind of like puts himself partially back together, at least back together enough. One thing I noticed, Kevin Kiner obviously did the music for this, did the music for all Clone Wars. The music is really good in this episode, which is I don't often notice the music as a standalone thing, but I thought the music during Grievous's fight with Ahsoka and during Anakin's fight with the Magna Guards was actually really strong. And the animation during the Magna Guard fight with Anakin, I was like, holy shit, that is some good fight animation.
Yeah.
The animation in Clone Wars, especially in the early seasons, can be like a little hit or miss. In the later seasons, it's phenomenal. But this was the first time that I watched the Magna Guards fighting Anakin, and I was like, damn, that animation is really good. And there's even a shot of Grievous from the side with like his cloak flowing down off the side of him. And I was like, man, I don't know why. Maybe it was just because I was watching it with fresh eyes or something, but the animation in this episode really caught me by surprise, and the fluidity of the fights and the movements was very, very good.
No, I agree. The fight scenes here are really fun to watch, and I can't say that they make up for the previous episode, but certainly they do recommend this episode. And they do a lot to make this one a fun one to watch. So we get a great combat scene, like you said, between Anakin and the Magna Guards. We get combat scene between Ahsoka and the clones against General Grievous, who proceeds to slaughter most of the clones, the only survivors being Rex and Denal, who I don't even know if we get his name in this episode.
No, we don't, but he survives. He's got unique markings. He's got blue stripes on his arms, and I think blue stripes on his helmet. And he survives, but then he ends up dying, I think, in season two. I think Cad Bane kills him.
Cad Bane does kill him. Yeah.
Yeah. So RIP Denal.
Not yet. Alive and well right now.
But soon, yeah.
At this point, as
Rex points out, there's two of them left. And he asks Ahsoka if she wants them to abandon the mission, but she says no, keep going. So, anyways, yeah, Grievous comes in and kind of just like, man, Ahsoka doesn't know what Grievous is capable of, and she kind of insults him. She's like, oh, it's just another droid. Like, we'll take care of this. And Grievous just like slaps her around, even without being able to use the Force. And again, I appreciate this. It's the levels of power creep that they've got.
Yeah.
It would have been insulting to Grievous as a character to have Ahsoka pose any challenge to him at all. So Grievous kind of just slaps her around. Grievous murders all the clone troopers except for Rex and Denal. And then it's all Ahsoka can do just to defend herself. And she ends up having to run and lead Grievous away. And she does manage to hide from him in like a room full of droid spare parts. But R3, that little piece of crap, shows up and highlights her and exposes her location to Grievous.
Yeah, I just firmly agree with everything you said there. It is again great to see Grievous being competent. You know, the character, part of the whole character shtick is being a Jedi hunter, and so to have difficulty putting a Jedi Padawan off her game would have been incredibly bizarre, especially at this point in Ahsoka's training. So, yeah, we've got R3's treachery and true allegiance finally revealed to the characters. And we can stop pretending that it's just an incompetent droid. At long last, it's only taken us full episode worth of active sabotage to get there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, at least Anakin, to his credit, was suspicious of the droid, but not nearly suspicious enough, in my opinion. He should have been like way more suspicious of this droid's incompetence. But basically, the droid locks him and the other troopers into the hangar with a bunch of vulture droids and some super battle droids, and basically just puts them in a terrible position. Ahsoka, I was watching this episode, and Ahsoka manages to like hide from Grievous. Mm-hmm. And I did think it was weird at one point in time, she like comes out from hiding and I was like, where the hell is Grievous? And then Grievous literally grabs her like hanging from the ceiling And I was like, oh, okay, there we go. Like, I appreciated that they hadn't just been like, oh, Grievous just like walked away. Like, Ahsoka was hid somewhere in the room. Grievous was like, oh, well, we'll just get her later. Like, I appreciated the fact that he was still there waiting for her to make a mistake, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, once again, you know, Grievous needs to have some of that movie monster treatment, and he gets it here. You know, he's genuinely scary. Like, you know, even knowing that Ahsoka is going to be fine, they manage to make it a tense moment, and you know, the sort of jump scare attack, it works. So, you know, Grievous disarms Ahsoka. And comes down to the floor, and he, you know, he's got her lightsaber, he's choking her, and basically is like, you know, after I kill you, your master's next. Ahsoka, to her credit, is perhaps to her credit. Certainly, she's got the bravery. She doesn't yet have the cunning. You know, she remains confident in Anakin, and she's rewarded for her confidence. At that moment, Anakin orders Rex to activate the explosives, despite the fact that they're all still in the station. And the explosion gives Ahsoka the chance that she needs to retrieve her lightsaber, cut off one of Grievous's hands, and start running, which, you know, just sends the room into a shambles as she flees over the shelves. And escapes through an air vent with her lightsaber. Grievous, you know, does his best to get her, but she's able to evade his attacks, and she heads to the hangar bay where she rejoins the team, who finish off the vulture droids and finally escape in the twilight.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated Ahsoka, again, levels of power creep, jumps on top of a vulture droid, cuts its head off, performs pretty well for herself in the presence of normal droids, not Grievous-level droids. Yeah, I mean, they get out of here, and Anakin, of course, takes his starfighter out of Twilight and is like, nope, I'm going to go get R2 again. And so... What is it? It's R2 and R3 fight each other on a deck. And for some reason, I'm trying to think what this was. It reminded me of like Halo. I feel like there's a level in Halo 2 where you're on like an orbital elevator or a space station that's falling. And while it's falling, you're like fighting or trying to escape. Maybe it's Halo 3. Maybe it's the very end. But for some reason, it reminded me of that. Like the red swirling storm in the background and the whole station is falling and R2 and R3 are fighting. And honestly, my favorite part of the episode was R3 dying a horrible death at the end when he tries and fails to defeat R2.
Yeah.
He gets knocked into the air and destroyed by flying debris. And I was like, thank you. Thank the maker that finally happened. And Anakin's able to save R2.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will say this episode succeeds, I think, kind of in all the ways that the previous episode failed. Honestly, this episode is only harmed by essentially requiring the previous episode in order to make sense.
So, you know, here's what you could do. The previous episode becomes that, like, that narrator thing they do in the beginning, right? Where they're like, literally, I mean, read it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Missing in action, Anakin Skywalker's heroic droid and navigator R2-D2 was lost in battle. When a desperate search fails to locate R2, Anakin is forced to take on a new navigator, R3-S6, right? Like, you could literally just read the intro from the narration of this episode and not watch any of the previous episode. And this episode, as a standalone, pretty solid. Pretty solid episode, because we learn early on that R3 is clearly a traitor, right? So we don't feel like we're being misled as the viewers. His incompetence is explained by the fact that he's a traitor pretty early on. Then you've got some good scenes with Grievous, and you've got the traitor getting his just desserts at the end and dying. So it's like, you know, all told, this episode on its own stands alone pretty okay. I wouldn't say it's good. I wouldn't say there's like a real reason to rewatch it necessarily, but it's a bang average Clone Wars episode, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you're right. You know, I guess I kind of forgot about the opening scroll there, but we do, or the opening narration, but we do get all the information that we need. In a way, I almost wish that we could just take the opening of the previous episode and just like staple it onto this episode. And so we could just get the best part, literally the only good part of Downfall of a Droid. And I think that would only add to this story. But we can't, so here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I'm going to pretend like I didn't see the first episode, and I'm going to weigh this episode like I've only heard the narration.
Sure.
In which case, like I said, I think it's average. I give it a 7. It's not, I don't really see a particular reason to rewatch it, but it has some stuff in it that I like. And so I think it is a very typical Clone Wars episode, especially it is a season 1-7, right? Which again is worse than a season 4-7. So, you know, I give it a 7.
Yeah. You know, we're dead on with this one. I also want to give this one a 7. Like you said, it's sort of dead on the average for the Clone Wars. There's nothing that it does that, you know, there aren't a half a dozen episodes out there that we're going to see later that do better. But it does do, you know, pretty much all the things that you expect from a Clone Wars episode just fine. And if it just sort of pops up, you know, it's the next episode to watch, I don't think I would, you know, go to the trouble of skipping it. I can't say for its predecessor, but, you know, this one I would just let play. And so I think that's where we end up. So kind of all over the place with the ratings today. I feel like this trio, the real roller coaster.
There's a little bit of whiplash back and forth between rookies and Downfall of a Droid.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And honestly, I'm kind of glad to have that behind us. So
I yeah, I mean, we've got, and we're going to have whiplash again when we reconvene next time, because we're going from Bombad Jedi, which I believe may actually be the lowest rated episode of the entire series, at least according to IMDb. I don't know that I've seen anything that is rated lower than that one. It's a Jar Jar episode, if you couldn't tell by the name. So my hope is that I find some solace in Jar Jar episodes, and that Ahmad Best, when he does the voice, is still phenomenal. And there's at least some like childlike innocence and physical humor to it that the droid didn't possess. But we bounce from that, and we're going to enter into another two-part arc, which is Cloak of Darkness and Lair of Grievous. And if I recall correctly, I actually really enjoyed, in particular, Lair of Grievous. I really enjoyed Lair of Grievous.
Yeah.
On my first couple watch-throughs.
I also have positive memories of that episode, and I'm very much looking forward to getting back to it. So I'm kind of hoping what we have next week, actually, rather than being Whiplash, it's going to be just a kind of a straight like trend line from bottom to top. And I'm gesturing and nobody can see that except for you. But like, you know, I feel like I say next week, but next episode, I think we're going to enter one of those phases where, you know, stonks go up and they only go up.
I hope so.
We'll find out.
Well, we know for a fact, I think that's a pretty solid bet, because we know for a fact the first episode is going to be the worst, and it's likely the third episode is going to be the best. Yeah. So if you guys are following along, please join us. It's I would honestly say at this point, it's almost guaranteed to be taking place in 2024. I think that this is going to be our last episode of 2023.
Yeah,
it'll be releasing. I mean, it's, you know, it's the 20th of December right now, so it's not exactly like, you know, we're going to give you guys a huge, huge break. You're getting two episodes in a week. And then we'll be coming back probably sometime in early 2024 and reconvening then.
Yeah, I would have to guess maybe second week of January we can look to have another episode out. And I will be officially a year older at that point. Slowly creeping towards 40. And
oh boy.
Not yet sure how I feel about that. And here I am still keeping myself young, watching animated Star Wars. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, let's see if we can hit 400 episodes by the time you're 40. I don't know if we can do that. That sounds like a lot of episodes. I also don't know how long we have until you're 40, but well, I still think that sounds like too many episodes.
Yeah, I think we've got about 2 years, so.
Oh boy. I mean, we're almost at 100, right? We're at 94.
This is 94, yeah. So we'll get real close to 200. I don't think we'll quite make it to 200. But
well, let's just shoot for 140. That seems like an easy bar to hurdle over. We can do 140 by the time you're 40. We'll be happy.
Be hard to mess that one up. I think we can do that.
Perfect.
All right, y'all. Until next time, may the force be with you.
And also with you.